Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. It's about 1200 B.C. The Israelites have escaped from the Egyptians and have spent 40 years wandering in the desert. Now they're encamped at Gilgal in the Promised Land. They celebrate the Passover meal for only the second time. They eat the produce of the land as a symbol that they will no longer wander in the desert, but will live on their own land. Manna, the bread God provided in the desert, is no longer needed. For the Israelites, all is new. God has been faithful to his promises. The period of slavery and the period of deliverance are behind them. They will now begin a new life in the Promised Land. The feeling of liberation is an exhilarating one. When we're oppressed, when we're in danger, when we're in debt, we feel overwhelmed. And we feel that things are out of control, out of our control. The only way out of our miserable situation is for someone else to intervene on our behalf. When this happens, then our hearts are filled with awe, and gratitude, and thanksgiving. It's this very realization that we have been saved and that everything is new for us that Paul is trying to teach the Corinthians when he writes in that epistle reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." We are now in right relationship with God. We haven't earned it. God has simply decided not to count our transgressions against us. Paul wants the Corinthians to understand this good news, so they themselves will bring the good news to others. Paul tells them that they are to act as ambassadors for Christ. We are to make God's love and God's mighty acts known to everyone. We are to become ministers of reconciliation. And Jesus is our role model for reconciliation. It's precisely why Jesus came to reveal God's love to sinners, that he spends so much time with sinners. And we see him doing just that in today's reading from Luke chapter 15. Jesus' audience seems to be divided into two groups: sinners and fine, upstanding religious leaders. However, the reader knows that the Pharisees and scribes are just as much sinners as the tax collectors and those called sinners. The difference between the two groups isn't who is actually a sinner and who isn't, but who is conscious of being a sinner and who isn't. As Jesus tells the story of the prodigal son, he is teaching the Pharisees that they failed to love their fellow sinners. Pharisees and the scribes don't realize that the story is actually about them. They wouldn't immediately identify with anyone in the story. However, when the older brother enters the story, they would identify with him. What the father is trying to teach the older brother is what Jesus is trying to teach the Pharisees and scribes. Love is not earned. Father loves both sons. His love is freely given to both. The father has never stopped loving the younger son. He's simply overjoyed when he returns. What happens next is unprecedented in Middle Eastern culture. When the father sees his son, he runs toward him like an exuberant child. Every chain that binds him to human respect and the approval of men is broken as he unabashedly goes in passionate pursuit of his son. The father's love is absolutely unrestrained. An Oriental patriarch wouldn't dream of running, let alone sprinting, toward a sinful, self-indulgent, swine-herding son. Instead, what he would do is sit in grand isolation with his arms tightly folded, saving face by making his wayward child come to him. Neither does he stop loving the older son because of his unloving behavior. Again, the father defies the protocol of patriarchy. He humiliates himself before his servants and guests by leaving the celebration to go and plead with his older son. His love for both his boys is unreserved and unrestrained. He's deaf to his own pride and blind to the opinions of others. What's good for one lost son is also good for the other. The father goes out to each son, but he also wants the sons to love each other. He wants the older son to join in the celebration because his brother who was lost now is found. The story ends with the reader wondering what the older brother does. Just so, Jesus goes out both to those who are sinners in the Pharisees' eyes and to the Pharisees themselves. This story powerfully illustrates the importance of realizing that we're among the sinners whom God loves and forgives. Once we understand that we have been forgiven and that we are loved by God, then our hearts are filled with gratitude and joy. Realizing that we've been reconciled to God, we'll never feel superior to anyone else who also needs reconciliation. Like Jesus and like the Father in the story, we go out to others. We become natural ambassadors of Christ's love and reconciliation. We go out and invite others. We ask them to become a part of us and join us in the celebration of the feast that has no end. In Jesus' name, Amen.